Listen to today's roster report to hear about all the latest Patriots transactions. Hi, I'm Lori Baranski, and you're listening to the Roster Report podcast, the official podcast of the New England Patriots. It's Friday, August 4th, in the midst of training camp here at Gillette Stadium, and today we have Brian Lowe, Andy Hart, Paul Perillo, and our newest member of the Roster Report, Kyle Passati.
And we're here with the Patriots Roster Report podcast in the middle of training camp. We hope you've been enjoying the training camp cast coming to you every day. Today, on this Friday, August 4th, with today's roster report, we're going to kind of sum up what's gone on over these last 8 days here at training camp, talk about some of the transactions the Patriots have made, and take a look at the roster in terms of some of the guys who have been out of action, in and out of action, and some general thoughts on training camp to date. I'm Brian Lowe, along with Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, and Kyle Passati joining us today. You may have sort of heard him apparently once or twice on PFF.
Well, you've heard
progress.
Of him anyway, because heard you read occasional updates.
Yeah, you've read his updates. He's been quite the contributor this summer here at Patriots.com. Glad to have you on board, Kyle.
Glad to be here.
Good news.
That'll
good
be
news.
About the extent of his vocab for the rest of the show.
Excellent. Well, since we last came to you, which was last Thursday, the day before the Patriots began training camp, they've announced their PUP list, originally 10 players, three of which have come back now, and we'll get to some of the guys who are still on that PUP list. But they have officially signed Chad Brown, who we had mentioned last week was on the horizon. They released Ryan Clarridge and Kadir Drame on that day as well. Last Friday, as training camp began, they came to terms with their first-round draft pick, Lawrence Maroney, also signed veteran tight end Walter Rasby. Interesting situation at tight end where there's only four on the roster as is, but Daniel Graham has not yet played at all. The Patriots also released Jarvis Herring that day. And then on Monday, they added a little bit of depth, I guess, to a couple positions, signing defensive lineman Eddie Freeman and wide receiver Kelvin Kite. Michael McGrew also placed on the reserve left camp list. Not too much insight to this point as to where Michael McGrew is these days. But as far as the PUP list, Bam Childress, Chad Jackson, and Lonnie Paxton are the three who originally were on PUP and are now off the list. Enough material to work with here, guys, on this roster report. Where do you want to start? Paul?
I really have no idea. Where do we want to start? I mean, there's been a lot of stuff. Actually,
Most of these transactions are of the, you know, lower bottom of the roster variety, and there's definitely some big names like Seymour, even Tom Brady missing a few practices, obviously Teddy Bruschi, guys who we didn't just mention in transactions, but are of much more critical importance when we look at the roster and where we are today.
I was just going to say, in general, I think that sometimes we kind of get lulled with training camp here in New England. The Patriots have had a lot of success, obviously, the last 5 years, and it's been kind of business as usual. This has been kind of a busy camp. I think there's been a lot of newsworthy stuff. I don't think it's been a volatile camp or anything like that. We have the Branch holdout situation, but even that's been somewhat quiet. But there's been a lot of little things. You mentioned Tom Brady. I mean, you want to talk about the makeup of the roster at this time. When he misses three straight practices, and then you get a chance to see Matt Castle kind of run the show by himself, I think that's an interesting scenario.
Well, that's just in the scenario. The Brady situation on, I think it was Sunday and Monday. You know, when Tom Brady missed one practice, which was on Sunday, you're figuring, okay, just part of this veteran in the rotation of guys getting a day off. When
Country club, as he called it.
When he missed Monday morning, you're thinking, that raises an eyebrow. Not only has he not been here, he wasn't even seen on the field, not practicing. Then he misses three in a row. That's very rare for a guy like Tom Brady, who thrives on practice, seems to absolutely despise missing any practices. Three in a row was significant, but you're right. Matt Castle, a guy with very little experience, getting the chance to run the show. So the Brady situation earlier this week was definitely interesting. Richard Seymour, certainly an interesting situation. There was some talk that maybe the reason he's been out is had to do with his contract, which couldn't become official until yesterday. He and the coach denied that, and he says he has a quadriceps injury. Where do you think things stand with Richard Seymour? Do you think we'll see him back on the field very soon?
Yes, I do. I think it's all the guys that we saw on the field, was it Wednesday when some of the PUP guys
Thursday
came
morning.
Out for their
Thursday
quote
morning.
Unquote meeting on the field? Yeah, right. Thursday morning. I think that shows those are the guys that are here doing everything, and then you note that Rodney Harrison, not part of that group. No surprise there. I mean, I think we understand it's a serious knee injury. It's going to be a while. Randall Gay was also amongst the missing, not one of those players. So I think that kind of gives you the divide between the guys who are truly day-to-day and at any one point could show up on a practice field and the guys that are more of a long-term situation. So I think Seymour is in that group of, you know, if this was November, I'm guessing he'd be active and playing or ready to go.
Yeah, why? Go ahead, Kyle.
I was going to say, he did say, too, that, you know, it's been bothering him. He's trying to take it slow on it. But if there was a game this week, he could play, he said.
He intimated that, saying that, you know, they could prescribe something for him. Now, a very curious situation.
Seymour said that?
He said he gave one line. I
heard him say something about the doctors.
The doctors.
And they would have to do stuff. I didn't hear him. Okay.
It's interesting because I read in two different accounts today. One newspaper article wrote that Seymour said he wouldn't be able to play this Sunday if there was a game. Another one said Seymour said he will be able to play Sunday. I fall right in between.
Right, I think he stopped short of saying whether he would or wouldn't be able to say, and he said it would be up to the doctors and his treatment.
What I took from what he said, and again, he certainly didn't give one indication either way, was that the doctors could do something that would get him on the field. That's what I took from it.
As Bill would say, there's no game Sunday, so it doesn't really matter.
There is a game next Friday. A very curious situation to me is Daniel Graham. He hasn't practiced yet, but he's not on PUP. Why is Graham different from Seymour, Sullivan, Kazier, Pass? Why is Graham not on PUP? Does anyone know?
Well, I would just have to take it at the rule itself in that he passed the physical to start camp but isn't ready to practice, and the other guys who are physically unable to perform didn't pass the physical.
Now, let me ask you.
I mean, that's the heart of the rule,
I don't have an answer for you, but that sounds as logical as any explanation I've seen.
I want to ask you this, and this could be semantics, but I know you actually asked Seymour yesterday, have you taken the conditioning run? He said yes.
Have you passed it? I asked if he passed it.
Did you say pass? I thought you said, has he taken? So he said that he passed it.
Yeah.
I don't understand why. You might be right on that it strictly has to do with the conditioning run, but to me, that Daniel Graham has been in the same situation as some of these other guys like Seymour in that he hasn't practiced but is not on PUP. I'm trying to figure out why that is the case. Why not put a guy on PUP? Yeah. There's no harm in
Garrett Mills as well.
Place him there.
If there's an injury,
it's a failed physical.
You can have a guy fail a physical for any number of reasons that you want, and I think that Brian's question, and I think your explanation makes as much sense, like I said, as
Bill
anything.
Bill Belichick would agree with me.
Yeah, but I'm just wondering what the differentiation would be between a guy like Seymour, for example, if he has a slight quad injury, as he called it yesterday, and a guy like Graham or Garrett Mills, who has yet to make either an appearance in uniform and take part in a practice. Why, the differentiations? Obviously, Graham and Mills are dealing with some sort of injury.
Well, Graham, we believe to be a shoulder, right? He had off-season shoulder surgery.
Right. And Graham also didn't take part in minicamp.
Right.
You know, Mills did, but Graham didn't. So we know that he had a pre-existing injury, which theoretically would make him eligible for PUP.
And a similar situation, Pass, Kazier, those are the guys who we were a little bit surprised at minicamp that they weren't out there.
Right.
But then when you get to this training camp, you're not as surprised because there has been a track there laid down.
I want to talk about defensive line and linebacker. I think there's certainly some reason for concern here at defensive line. Seymour hasn't practiced. Jarvis Green missed quite a bit of time. Marquise Hill, granted, roster bubble guy right there, but he apparently got hurt during training camp. He hasn't been out there. Jonathan Sullivan, we all know the kind of baggage that he brought into camp in the first place, and he hasn't been out there. Then at linebacker, Teddy Bruschi now, it appears, at a minimum is going to be out a week, but there's certainly some different schools of thought that if he indeed does have a wrist injury, it could be something that's quite a bit longer than 1 week. Monty Beisel has missed a bunch of time, leaving guys like Barry Gardner and Don Davis at middle linebacker. Is there concern in the front seven of this team with the injuries that they've had?
Well, I think the concern at linebacker is legitimate because you started with four, maybe. Beisel's not even a surefire starter, established kind of guy.
Colvin, Brusky, Beisel.
Now you're down two.
Four,
now you're down to a guy who's new to the system and is sort of a career special teamer in Barry Gardner and a career special teamer in Don Davis, who for this defense has played safety more than linebacker.
Absolutely.
So I think that's a legitimate concern. Defensive line, Seymour, I think, is going to be ready. I got to imagine it's not a huge deal with Jarvis Green. He kind of walked off a practice, then disappeared after that. So I don't think that's a huge deal. So you have four guys there that I think are NFL caliber, established guys. So I think you're a little better off there than at linebacker.
One interesting thing I've noticed, and as a result of all of these kinds of injuries and whatnot, is it's given opportunities. You know, we're talking about the roster breakdown, the roster makeup right now. LeKeven Smith, how do you pronounce
it?
LeKeven Smith.
Those are two separate words, LeKeven.
I think it's been interesting to see, all the reps that he's been getting. Obviously, Andy and Brian just talked about all the guys that are out, so that's why he's getting all the reps. But it's still interesting to see him out there, played some inside, but even playing on the end. Mike Wright has been a staple since day one of camp. Mixing in with the first group. I think it's interesting to see some of these guys and trying to gauge where they might stay, you know, if they can take advantage of these opportunities and stay in the rotation, or if they're just strictly fill-ins. On the offensive line, Andy's been writing, just wrote a story for the next issue of PFW, Ryan O'Callaghan. Mm-hmm. He's getting some run with the ones as well, switching back and forth with Wesley Britt.
Right.
You know, with
right.
Nick Kazier out, Matt Light occasionally getting a day off here and there as he recovers.
Brandon Gorin in that mix.
You know, and Brandon Gorin's been a swing tackle, so he takes Light's spot. When Light's not practicing, that leaves an opening at right tackle. I think it's been kind of interesting to watch.
Right, and even if some of these guys who are injured do come back in due time and with plenty of time for the regular season, these guys who are getting more reps in training camp, that might prove to be extremely beneficial come October or November if they are pressed into more duty. I think Barry Gardner, who's a guy that we were talking to yesterday, fits into that category. I think he really said that having more reps right now has been extremely beneficial because he's learning a new system.
He's never played in the 3-4
Never played in the 3-4. He said there are some similarities to what he had in Philly years ago, but really a brand new. And I actually was watching him at practice yesterday, and Bill Belichick, who has been extraordinarily hands-on with the linebackers this year, specifically after every play, or after several plays that I saw, was going up to Barry Gardner. They were communicating after every play. And so I think a lot of this hands-on stuff with the linebackers has been important. And so a couple of these guys that we've mentioned are definitely going to get some opportunities. A couple of other situations we were talking about tight end and Daniel Graham. I think Walter Rasby was a signing that certainly didn't get a lot of publicity. I think this is a guy who might have to, who might be pressed into duty and might make this team. Certainly if Daniel Graham's not here, this team absolutely will go with at least three tight ends because of how often they use two tight ends. Walter Rasby, over a 12-year career, he doesn't have great numbers from a standpoint of receiving.
He's a blocker.
He's a blocker, but this might mean that David Thomas is going to be a guy who catch a couple balls. Why don't you say that again, Kyle, and expand on that?
I think he could be. I mean, I've seen him drop one pass so far during training camp. It was in the stadium, but he may have dropped more than that. But they've also been throwing the ball to Rasby, and he's been catching it too. You know, and I think he's a proven blocker as far as tight ends go.
Right, and it just lays the groundwork. You know, a couple of years ago, a guy who's now helping out as a coach, Fred Baxter, they signed late in the year. Maybe Rasby's a guy, even if you cut him, and then all of a sudden Graham gets nicked up in October, and you need to sign a guy.
So
if he's still
the
out there.
Hank Poteet of the offense.
He knows the system.
He knows the system. He's been there.
Of the offense.
Guys like that who get the reps in training camp, get cut, and a month later, suddenly they're back on the field playing for you.
They're a phone call away.
Because you're right. They've not only two tight end sets, they've had a lot of three tight end sets. So you have to have a minimum of three tight ends on the roster if you're planning on doing that
into the season. In order to run a three tight end set,
you need three.
You need three.
Especially when Tom Ashworth's gone.
Right. Now we have to touch on on the wide receiver position. Obviously, Deion Branch, we're now 8 days into his holdout, and really no sign of any reason to think that he's going to be coming back in the next few days, weeks. Really, something would have to happen for that to him.
Thought you might go so far as to say months. There, I was waiting for you to.
Maybe we can throw that out there too. How about years?
I would just say there. But is there any reason to believe he won't show up, say, tomorrow?
No, there isn't. But there haven't been those, you know, any sort of indication either way is the best way to put it.
Yeah, that's generally the way they do things, though. I'm not going to be surprised to see him whenever we see him. Andy's right. I mean, there's no indication that he won't be here tomorrow, and there's no indication that he will be here for opening day. You know, I know that sounds like you're covering all bases, but there's been no information whatsoever regarding the whole situation. And when was the last time we really got any definitive news from this situation? And that was just before camp, when the local papers were saying definitively that he would not be here for camp.
Right. Well, what this means is at wide receiver, we've got all these guys who are virtual no names to, you know, people who are coming out here to training camp. They have to pick up these PFW rosters that Carroll Hardy so diligently distributes in order to see what these number 2, 5, 18, 19, what they're all about. It's amazing that on a lot of these practices, there's been only one wide receiver out on the field wearing a number in the 80s, Rishay Caldwell. Troy Brown has completely been on an on and off, and Deion Branch is not there. Rishay Caldwell has been the only receiver out there every day in the 80s. Anybody stand out, any of these other guys, aside from Caldwell, Brown, who have stood out in your mind, guys? Because one or two of these, as we've been saying for weeks, a few of these guys, one or two of them, are going to make the roster.
Probably.
Kelvin Kuyt's, Rich Musinski's, Matt Shelton's, Bam Childress. Anyone stand out specifically?
You certainly don't go into the year with two wide receivers on the roster, assuming Deion's not one of them, however that plays out. So, yeah.
Chad Jackson.
Gonna be,
I didn't mention
Chad Jackson has been on and off the field at times.
He didn't make his first appearance until I think Monday or Tuesday.
Right, so it'll be questionable where he is by the time the regular season comes around. I would say first Caldwell, I think, has had a very good camp in his first year here.
I agree with that as well.
A little relationship with Brady.
The relationship with Brady. One observation I've made numerous times at the end of practices, I've seen Rishe Caldwell stay late and then walk off the field with Brian Daboll. I've noticed that, and I just think it seems like he's extremely diligent and committed to learning this offense and communicating with Brady. It's an observation I've made.
And beyond that, none of the other guys have really stood out to me. I'd say the one guy is Rich Musinski, maybe. Mm-hmm. He's had a relatively solid camp. Everybody else, I feel like John Stone has had an up day and a down day.
Yeah.
Matt Shelton is now banged up. He was kind of down. He was with the first group during a 2-minute drill, but was the only guy to drop the ball on the field. So, you know, other than Musinski, I haven't seen all that much.
Yeah, Karan Henry looks the part, but we haven't really seen him do too much.
Mm-hmm.
He's not beating people very frequently.
You know? Yeah, I think that, you know, the whole key here is Branch. If Branch doesn't come back, then I think you're dealing with a situation where, like you guys said, one or two of these guys out of that Stone, Musinski, Childress group, you know, is going to have to make the team. If Branch comes back, I don't think any of these guys has separated himself from the pack, and I don't think they're going to make the team. Childress got a late start, so we'll give him a little bit of time here to get up to speed. But I think beyond those top four that we know about, you know, with Caldwell, Brown, Jackson, and Branch, I don't think that any of them have really, you know, proven that they're worthy of a roster spot. And I don't think Belichick will just, you know, say, okay, John Stone, he was the best out of that lot, so we'll keep him. I don't think he'll do that.
Right.
He's
not committed to, this group of six, one has to make the team. You know, he'll just as easily go four tight ends or.
He'll wait for someone to get cut and just put someone on the roster, at the start of the season. You know, we all know that, you know, we talk about Walter Rasby as being a guy, you know, maybe he's on speed dial. They'll find someone. I mean, I don't really see any of these guys making the team. I just don't. And I would agree that Rich Musinski, in terms of just the ability to catch the ball, has been the best of that lot. He has not dropped a thing all week, and I just don't see him having the size or the speed to make it in the NFL. But he has caught more passes than the other guys.
And another big concern is that a lot of people, I think, were hoping Chad Jackson would be here for this receiver battle that's going on, and we just haven't seen him.
No, he's been out. His first practice, after the practice, Bill Belichick was asked, hey, what'd you see out of Chad Jackson? Basically, his answer was, not much. He hasn't done anything yet. You know, and I think he's only been out there for two, maybe three practices to this point.
Two or
we're
three.
13, 14 in. So, you know, we'll see how that plays out. The final subject I want to bring up is kicker. Yesterday, on Thursday, Bill Belichick said, well, you got to wait 7 or 8 days before you start charting kicks. It's 8 days.
Day 8, we got to make a decision.
Where do you guys,
here's where you have to start charting. Now it's time to chart.
Yeah, you start charting, not making it. Where do you think that stands right now? Who has the edge? What are we looking at with the kicking position?
I don't think there's much of an edge either way. I personally lean towards Steven Gostkowski because I think he's the stronger leg, and because he's a rookie, I think he has the bigger upside. But just purely on what they've done, I haven't seen much from either of them that's gone either way.
I flip a coin. You know, I think that they both have had – first of all, I think they've both kicked pretty well. I think the vast majority of their kicks have been successful. The kickoffs, for the most part, have been pretty deep. There's been an occasional shank here and there for both. But I think overall, I think they're both kicking the ball pretty well. I think it's going to be a tough decision. And like Bill said yesterday, as you brought up, you know, they need to get that volume of kicks under their belt. You know, you can't just look at it at 30, 40 kicks. It's more like, you know, 400 kicks that you want to start looking at and get a decent sample size.
What will be interesting is starting a week from tonight in Atlanta, who gets the opportunities in these games? If there is, if it can be looked at as a pressure situation at all in any preseason game, you know, who gets that fourth quarter kick where the game is tied or they're down by three, that kind of thing, and if the guy who gets called upon makes it or doesn't make it, then we'll start to see where this lies. But, you know, keep in mind, the first roster cutdown date is not for 3.5 weeks, I think, and even that is only down to 75, so it's not until 5 days, I think, or no, It's, I think, exactly one week before the regular season starts that they have to be down to 53. So we'll see where that stands. Lots of coverage here on Patriots.com. We got the Campcast every day that there's a practice. Patriots Today each and every day. And tons of articles written by, among others, Kyle Passetti, who's joining us today. And, of course, Andy Hart, Paul Perillo, and Tom Casale. Where's Tom? Do we know where Tom is right now?
I don't know.
Well, Tom, if you're listening.
Various members of PFW are in various degrees of participation at this point in training camp.
Various degrees of participation, rehab.
Day to day.
Tom is on the PUP list. Well, that's going to do it for today's edition of the Roster Report podcast here on Patriots.com. Thanks to Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, and Kyle Passetti, and I'm Brian Lowe. We're going to send it back to Laurie.
Thanks, guys. You can call our training camp hotline for the latest information for attending a public practice at 508-549-0001. Thanks for listening, and go Pats.